Congregation, with the help of the Lord, I will preach the Word of God this evening by using the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 25, like we have been reading. And the theme for the sermon is, Where does faith come from? Where does faith come from? It happened, beloved congregation, it happened that there was a soldier, boys and girls, in the army of Napoleon. I think you have heard that name of that emperor in France. And the horse of Napoleon was wild and he couldn't keep it. And then there was a soldier who jumped and took the lashes at the mouth of the horse. And he brought the horse down. And Napoleon said, Thank you. He said to that soldier, Thank you, Captain. And the soldier looked up and said, In what department? And the emperor was glad that he so trusted him. Napoleon was glad that he believed his word. And he said, In my bodyguard. And there he went. And he came to the bodyguard and he said, Well, here's your captain. And they said, On whose authority? And he said, On the authority of the emperor. And then it was said, What a nice picture. How faith can work. Should work in trusting the word of God coming to us. Oh, what a grace when we trust the word of God about the most important things in life, salvation and forgiveness, and how much we honor God. And how much harm we do to our souls in unbelieving and doubting the word of God. Faith, what a wonderful thing. I think about that woman that was very poor and she didn't have anything to eat. And every morning she went to the door and there was a basket filled with food enough for the day. And every day she lived from what she received. Isn't that a picture of the life of faith? To live by grace. Now the question is, where does faith come from? Whence doth this faith proceed? It's so nice to read this question in the Heidelberg Catechism. We've had a lot of teaching now. A lot of questions about how we have to be saved, how such a sinner as we are, how we can be saved, is by our own works, and what a mediator we need. And now, the catechism is at a point that is asking the question, since then we are made partakers of Christ, and all his benefits by faith only, whence doth this faith proceed? There's a point where we have to come to admit it is true. We are made partakers of Christ and all his benefits by faith only. There's nothing that I can add. There's no other way to be saved. I see it now clear. This is the only way to come to the Lord Jesus and to receive it from him by faith alone, to trust him without anything that we can offer him, without deserving it, just grace. As guilty and sinful as we are, We are made partakers of Christ and all his benefits by faith only. Oh, what a sentence. What a confession. You can say that. I am made partaker of Christ and all his benefits by faith only. Isn't that the most great thing that you can know, that you can confess on earth? Isn't it wonderful if you come so far that you admit that? Lose all your own means, all your own ways, all your own works. By Christ alone, by faith alone, did you come there? Did you come to an end with your own things, your own righteousness, your own knowledge, your own improvements, your own experiences? It's Christ alone. If nothing, I need him. There's the gospel. There's the very center, the very heart of the gospel. If you see that, and it's a wonderful, important question, a very important question, where doth this faith proceed? That's important. If that is the only way to be saved, and it is, by faith alone, where does it come from? Can it grow in on the field of my own heart? By my own efforts? In my own strength? No. Can I take it? No. No. I cannot produce it myself. Can any man give it to me? No. Where does it come from? Whence doth this faith proceed? Are you struggling with that question? Is that your problem? Your question? It can be that it feels in your life like a wall. You know all those things, but now to have it, to receive it, you don't know. You are stuck. You cannot solve it. You struggle with it. Now listen. It's such a clear teaching here in the Catechism. It's such a rich teaching. It doesn't come from yourself. If that was the case, then it would be impossible if it had to come from yourself. Our heart is so doubting, so unbelieving. Yeah, I think we experience that, how much we can struggle to trust the Lord. If we only would speak about the daily things of life, the things that we need, how we can be concerned, even be sleepless. How can I solve this? How can I take care for my family? How can I do this task? How can I... All those struggles inside, without thinking of the Almighty and gracious God. Oh, what a shame to forget the Lord in our daily life. And maybe after days or weeks of struggling, we really don't know anymore. And then we say, oh, but I can pray. That's a shame if we use that at the end. We did forget the Lord. How we struggle with trusting the Lord. When we have it not in our own hands, when we cannot do it ourselves, we find it so difficult to rest in the Lord, to expect it from him. Oh, if it would be depending on me, if it would have to come from me, that would be a sad gospel, a sad message. If I had to produce that faith, no. No, this is a very good message. The message of the gospel, it says, it comes from the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is God, is Almighty, is the one who is giving life. Physical life, spiritual life. Giving life in the soul and the hearts of people. It comes from God, the Holy Ghost. God is Almighty. He is so powerful. He is able to overcome all our resistance and our doubts, to give us that confidence, that faith in our heart and soul, that deep rest in Christ and His work. It comes from the Holy Ghost, who works faith in our hearts. Yeah, we cannot change our hearts, but they have to be changed. But the good news is that the Holy Ghost is doing that. And maybe you are sitting here and still have a question and say, well, but how? Does it mean that I have to wait, sit back, and maybe it will happen? You never know. Maybe not. No, that's not the gospel. No. No, that's not the answer of the Heidelberg Catechism either. That's true, that it would be wrong if we would teach that. Just see what happens in your life. No, that's not the message of the Word of God. No, it says by the preaching of the gospel, by the Word of God. That is the way that the Holy Spirit is working in the hearts and lives of men and women, boys and girls, children, the preaching of the gospel, the proclamation of the Word of God with authority. The Lord is using weak, fallible human beings to proclaim His own words. Isn't that strange? Calvin is speaking somewhere about that. He says, well, why did the Lord not send angels to minister in the church? And Calvin says, well, it is to humble us that the Lord is sending human beings to preach the gospel. It is to humble us, that we have to be humble enough to receive that good message from human beings that are sinful themselves in their own old nature. It is by the preaching of the word of the gospel. So that means that we are here at a very special place. Did you ever think about that? Maybe you say, well, we are used to go to the church. That's a common thing. Every Lord's Day we go twice to the house of the Lord. That's normal. Is that true? Oh no. It is so special that we can be here. And that the Lord Himself is promising in His Word that He is specially in the preaching of the Word is working. And that the Holy Spirit is using that. So we could say, the house of the Lord is the workplace of the Holy Spirit. So that means that we never stay at home if we are able to come to the house of the Lord. That we come to hear the Word of God. It is the very workplace of the Holy Spirit. Oh, that's filling you with reverence. God Himself is working in His house, speaking to us to save us. That high, eternal God is coming so low to children in the church, to boys and girls, to save your soul. I hope you have a desire to come to the church, that you think about God, who is using the preaching of the gospel. You have those people that say, well, you know, God is almighty and he can convert me when I'm walking in nature. I like that, to go outside to the forest, and then I can see the mighty works of God. That is true. And even if I would go to the places of the entertainment of the world, God is able to convert me there. I will not deny that. God is almighty. But it's not a question what God can do, but a question is what God wants us to do. And he wants us to come to his house, to hear his word. And that is the way that he usually will work in the hearts of sinful people, to save them, to work faith. Like the Apostle Paul is speaking in the letter to the Romans in chapter 10, that believing is by hearing the word of God, and hearing is by preaching, that it is preached, proclaimed, then you hear it. And that is how the Lord is working faith in the hearts of people. How can you know God if you wouldn't hear about him? How can you trust someone that you do not know, that is not made known to you? And the Lord is revealing himself in his house by the preaching of the words. He is coming to you also this evening saying, here I am. This is how I am. So that you would trust him. I think we can understand that. It's in a certain way the same among people. When you live together and you know each other more and more, there can be a trust between each other. Of course, it's different. But it can help you to understand that we need to come to the house of God to hear the preaching of the word, where the Lord is revealing himself so that you might know him. And that in that way the Holy Spirit will work faith in your heart, that you trust him, that you rest in the work of Christ. It is work by the Holy Ghost in our hearts by the preaching of the gospel, and the Holy Ghost confirms it by the use of the sacraments. The Lord knows how we can doubt and how weak faith can be in our lives, and how we need that faith will be strengthened. Because it will be attacked by Satan. And oh, we can darken our sight by faith, by our sins. So the sacraments are given by the Lord. It's something that is added to the preaching of the gospel. We have to understand that the Lord is working faith by the preaching, not by the sacraments. The sacraments are like signs and seals. We remember that we read from the word that in the time that the Lord Jesus was on earth, he did lots of signs, wonderful signs, miracles he did. And then we read that said things that although he did so many signs, they didn't believe in him. And we think about that parable of the rich man and Lazarus. When that rich man is in hell, he says, Father Abraham, send Lazarus on earth to go to my brothers, so that they might not come in this place. And then the answer is, but they have Moses and the prophets, they have the word of God. But no, if someone would rise from the dead, they would believe. No, if they will not believe the word, they would not believe even if someone would rise from the dead. It is the word that is used by God to work faith in our hearts. That's the reason why the pulpit is right here in our church, right in the front, in the center. Because we believe and we know from the word of God that the word is used by the Holy Ghost to work faith in our hearts. It's what Peter says in the chapter that we have been reading. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God. That's what God is using. Like a seed in your heart of regeneration, of new life, spiritual life, to work faith in our hearts. I don't know if you ever have been in a Roman Catholic church. When we had our vacation in Netherlands, we went to Switzerland, and then there we walked in Roman Catholic churches, or even had services there. Then what you see there is that usually the pulpit is at a site there, somewhere there. And in front is the altar. And that's for a reason. They see those things different. They say, well, you will receive grace if you receive the sacraments, the bread. Usually only the bread, and the priest will take the wine for the whole congregation. But they say, you know, the grace is coming with the sacrament automatically. It's like a vehicle of grace, the sacrament. Even if you would know nothing, or if that was possible, if you were out of conscience and you would receive the sacrament, you would receive grace. And then they will preach for a short time to prepare you to receive the sacrament, but the sacrament is in the center, the altar is in the center. But we say from the word now, it's by the preaching of the word that the Lord is working faith in your heart. And the sacraments are an addition, something that the Lord is giving as to strengthen faith. So, in a certain way, we could say the word is enough to be saved. If for a certain reason a person would not be baptized or receive the Lord's Supper, not be able to do that, maybe he would come to believe and have a very short time to live afterwards, then he would be saved, even if he did never, or she did never, receive the sacrament. That doesn't mean that we can despise the sacrament, but they in themselves are not our salvation. Now they are there to strengthen faith. But faith is coming from the word of God, where the gospel, the promises of the gospel are revealed to us and proclaimed to us with authority, so that we would receive them and believe them, and that our soul would rest in them. And then the Lord is so good and coming so low that he is strengthening and encouraging his people, his children, by the sacraments. What are the sacraments? The sacraments are holy, visible signs and seals appointed of God for this end, that by the use thereof he may the more fully declare and seal to us the promise of the gospel. more fully, that he will make it more clear and strong, namely that he grants us freely the remission of sin and life eternal for the sake of that one sacrifice of Christ accomplished on the cross. Well, again, hear the heartbeat of the gospel. The promise of the gospel, namely that he grants us freely the remission of sin and life eternal for the sake of that one sacrifice of Christ accomplished on the cross. Do you believe that? Does your soul rest in that promise? There's no other way to be saved than to be saved by this Savior, by Christ, who is preached in the gospel. We read the promises about his work, and the Holy Spirit is using that to save sinners. Let us sing before we continue. Let us sing Psalter 151, stanza 4 till 6. 151, stanza 4. Thou knowest all my woes, O treasure thou my tears. Are they not in thy book where all my life appears? 151, stanza 4 till 6.
Thank you.
Congregation, the sacraments are holy. It's not a common thing. They are holy. They are given by the Lord. They are so precious. They are holy, visible signs and seals appointed of God for this end, that by the use thereof he may the more fully declare and seal to us the promise of the gospel. Signs and seals. What does that mean, children? A sign and a seal? Well, I think it happens if you are at school or homeschooling that the teacher or your mother can teach you something. So she's telling you a thing and you do not get it. You're gazing at her and she is seeing in your eyes. You do not understand it. It's not so clear to you. And then what she can do is take a pencil or something and then make a picture. Like a teacher at school can do at a blackboard or whiteboard. Say, well, you know, this is what I mean. You see it now? And you say, oh, now I get it. It's a sign, a visible sign. The Lord knows how we can struggle by believing those, struggle to believe those invisible things coming to us from the words, and how weak our faith can be and attacked with doubts and by Satan. And then the Lord is coming so low to give us a visible sign in the water of baptism. You see the water? You know what water does? It's cleaning, it's washing. So that means this child has to be cleansed, washed. But it also means that the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is cleansing from all sin. You see it now? So that your faith might be strengthened. Or if you see the bread and the wine, the usual, the common things to nourish, to feed, then we see in the bread and wine how our soul can be saved and fed. We see in the bread the body of Christ that is broken on the cross. And in the wine we see his blood shed on the cross. Do you see it now in the bread? Do you see the wine? Do you taste the bread, my child? Do you taste the wine? Do you experience how it is giving strength to your body? So, in that way, like your body is strengthened by those things, you can see now that it is sure that by the body and the blood of Christ there is forgiveness from all your sins, so that your soul will be strengthened and revived, refreshed. What an encouragement that the Lord is coming so low to his church, that they not only hear the word, and the word is to work faith and to strengthen faith. And then the Lord is giving also the sacraments to strengthen faith. You see it now? As certainly as you see the bread and the wine, there is forgiveness of all your sins. As certainly as you taste the wine and the bread, There is a total forgiveness of all your sins. Are you doubting that? Can you deny that you taste the wine? So the Lord is using our eyes that we can taste the things that He is giving in the sacraments, so that all those things work together, that we might believe, that we might trust Him. Yes, it is really true. Oh, and that you will, your soul will rest in it. How good is God, that He is coming so low to people like we are, that doubt Him so much, that are so unbelieving by nature, that He is giving His sacraments as holy visible signs and seals. What is a seal? A seal, they use it in the past, especially then, probably also now. But when there was a letter from a king that had to be sent to a certain part of his empire, his kingdom, he would write a letter and he would close it and put a seal on it and a seal of his ring in it so that it couldn't be opened. And then when the messenger would come to this, those people living there far away from the king, he would show the letter and say, "You can see, I have a message from the king. You see the seal? You recognize it? You can be sure it's not a thing that I wrote myself, but it's a message of the king." And then he would read it and they would hear it, and they would have that certainty, that assurance, that it is really a message from the king. So the Lord is giving His sacraments as signs to make it more clear, and as seals to make it more certain. He's giving that in addition to His word, to strengthen the faith of His children. Oh, what a Savior we have. You remember when the Lord was giving the Lord's Supper in the last night of His life, when He was traded and would be left from His disciples, denied from Peter, and for such a church He was giving in that dark night the sacrament of the Lord's Supper to encourage, to strengthen them. They are signs and seals appointed of God. They come from God. Otherwise we wouldn't dare to use them. But God has given them to the church. Appointed of God. There, it's clearly described in the word. Baptism and the Lord's Supper. For this end, that by the use thereof He may the more fully declare and seal to us the promise of the gospel, that you would not doubt, that you would rest in it. What promise? Namely, that He grants us freely the remission of sin and life eternal for the sake of that one sacrifice of Christ accomplished on the cross. What a clear teaching here in the Heidelberg Catechism. What a summarizing of the gospel. How powerful, that He grants us freely the remission of sin and life eternal for the sake of that one sacrifice of Christ accomplished on the cross. There's a way to be saved. He grants it freely. The promise is there in the word. Oh, that your soul might rest in that. The Lord knows how we can have a struggle even after that faith is worked in our hearts, and He gives us signs and seals to strengthen His own work, so that we might have more assurance and more the joy of forgiveness of sin and eternal life, more the expectation, yes, it is true. How good to sit there at the Lord's Supper and to taste it. And when you have to return to daily life, you remember it. I've been sitting there. Yes, there is forgiveness of my sins. That the Lord can be so near. That you are allowed to lift up your heart by faith, worked by the Holy Spirit, to have communion with Christ when the word is preached. And also, and especially also, when the sacraments are administered. Are both word and sacraments then ordained and appointed for this end, that they may direct our faith to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross as the only ground of our salvation? Yes, indeed. They have both the same direction. They are not against each other. They are not in contradiction of each other. No, they strengthen each other. They make it more clear, more, it will be more fully declared and sealed to us, the promise of the gospel. Yes, indeed, for the Holy Ghost teaches us in the gospel. That's especially what is used. That's what's used for the working of faith, that teaching of the Holy Ghost in the gospel, and assures us by the sacraments that the whole of our salvation depends upon that one sacrifice of Christ which he offered for us on the cross. So that's outside of ourselves. I think it's so clear, so nice, described in the form of the Lord's Supper, that we in ourselves are in the midst of death. That we seek life outside of ourselves. There it is, in Christ. You cannot find it in yourself? Are you desperate? Are you discouraged? Why? You're looking at the wrong place. This morning we heard the net had to go to the other side, to the right side. And then it was full. And that's what has to happen in your life. Stop seeking it in yourself. And seek it in Christ. And see how full the Lord will make your net with grace. What an abundance there is of forgiveness of sin and eternal life. It depends upon that one sacrifice of Christ, not upon my tears. No, they cannot pay. Not upon my good works. No. They are full of stains of sin. But upon that one sacrifice of Christ which he offered for us on the cross. How many sacraments has Christ instituted in the New Covenant or Testament? Why that question? Of course, two. We all know that. We are brought up with that teaching. We know there's baptism and the Lord's Supper, the Holy Supper, holy baptism. Yeah, that question is there with a reason. And it's the same reason why we find such a clear teaching here in the Catechism. I think it's difficult for us to imagine, to see what a struggle it has been at the time of the Reformation, where the Roman Catholic Church was teaching a different thing, teaching that you could be saved by Christ and your own work. And now we understand probably better that they emphasize it again and again, that our salvation depends upon that one sacrifice of Christ which he offered for us on the cross. They felt we cannot say it enough. We have to repeat it, because the church is in such a confusion. And that confusion can still be here. Oh, yeah. That teaching of the Roman Catholic Church is so much connecting to our own natural heart, our proud. I want to add something. I want to have something that I can glory in, can boast in. No? There's nothing? Is that one sacrifice of Christ which he offered for us on the cross? And now, how many sacraments has Christ instituted? Has Christ instituted? God himself gave it. Christ instituted them in the New Covenant or Testament. Two. The Roman Catholic Church is teaching there are seven. That's the reason that it is asked here. Two, namely, Holy Baptism and the Holy Supper. And the Roman Catholic Church is saying there are seven. They say marriage is a sacrament and confession of faith and the installation of a priest, and when you go to a priest to confess your sin, and also when you are at the end of your life, and then the priest will come to anoint you, that's also a sacrament. So they have seven, and then they have baptism and the Lord's Supper. They add those other five. And of course, we do not deny that some of them are important, like marriage, but we do not see in Scripture that they are sacraments. No. The Lord gave us two sacraments in the New Covenant, namely Holy Baptism and the Holy Supper. It's asked, how many do we have in the New Testament? It's so nice to see how they connect to the Old Testament. But we see in the Old Testament that there was circumcision, and then there was blood when that sacrament was done. And in the New Testament, after Christ died at the cross, gave his blood, that was enough. That was one sacrifice forever. It changed into baptism. The same content, but another way of showing it, by the water. And now, when we think about the Lord's Supper, we think about the Passover lamb that was slaughtered to remember the salvation from slavery in Egypt. And the Lord Jesus changed it in the Lord's Supper, in the Holy Supper. And in the Old Testament, there was bloodshed. A lamb had to be slaughtered. And in the New Testament, we have the wine, because the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, has been slaughtered as one sacrifice forever. There's no need for shedding blood anymore. His blood is powerful to save sinners. It is powerful today, as powerful as it was 2,000 years ago. Do you know the power of the blood of the Lamb of God, of Christ, for your soul? Do you know that joy of salvation, forgiveness of sin, eternal life, by faith alone? Oh, how blessed are you. You don't know it? Today is a day of grace. Today is a day of the preaching of the gospel. The Holy Spirit is here, working, and do not resist, but confess and be saved by grace alone. Amen. Let us pray together. Gracious God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thou art the God of the covenant, preaching the gospel in the world and making it visible in the sacraments. And, O Lord, we pray to apply it to our hearts so that we might have faith and assurance of faith. Bless thy words. Lord, forgive us our sins in speaking and listening, everything that was not according to thy holy will. And that word might go with us in our hearts, that we will think again and again over that what we have heard this evening, so that it might be a seed of regeneration to renew us for the first time or more and more. We need it so much. Like David says in Psalm 51, O Lord, create a pure heart within me. We need it all. A pure heart. Renewal of our hearts. The daily conversion, Lord. But also, when we do not know Thee, oh, that it might happen for the first time. That we kneel down and be saved and find forgiveness of sin in that one sacrifice of Christ on the cross. Go with us when we go home. Protect us on the unsafe roads, and also during this night and in the week that began. Help us in all the things that we have to do, and keep us from sin, and protect us against the attacks of Satan, O Lord, and that we might see Thee, O Lord Jesus, that we might see Thy beauty, and that we might follow Thee, and take our cross daily with joy, and that we one day might enter in that glory to know Thee perfectly like Thou art. Oh, let a day soon come, and that none of us will be lost and perish, but save all of us. There is power in the blood to save the greatest of sinners. Lord, we thank Thee. Let Thy name be glorified, be praised. Thou art so worthy to receive all the glory in all eternity. And we pray it for Christ's sake. Amen. Let us sing.